wander off the path, leave the rest of them and wander away. And when they do, as she said earlier, they set themselves up as a target to be prey, to be a victim, because it is so much easier to conquer one by himself. Shepherds have trouble with the rebellious sheep. So scholars tell us that this is what they would do. They would take a little sheep who was just steadily wandering away. Every day, this same little sheep would wander away. Every day, this same little sheep would get away, would not listen to the shepherd's voice. So the shepherd would go over and pick the little sheep up, and the shepherd would take his legs and crack and break the sheep's legs so that he can no longer wander away. Why? Because he cannot walk. And then he would gently pick the sheep up and put him over top of his head. His broken legs are hanging down to the right. His broken legs are hanging down to the left. And for weeks, somebody say weeks, for weeks, at least he's close enough to the shepherd's voice that now he may learn it. Maybe you'll listen to me next time. See, some of you are going through some things and you're blaming it all on the devil. Well, you know, it's just the devil. No, it's you. You made the decision, and God is gracefully trying to take you through a path to teach you something. Discipline is hard. Hebrews talks to us about it. But what God would not discipline his children? What son would not appreciate the discipline of his father? The Bible teaches us this. God is treating you, Hebrews says, as a son. It pleased the father. Listen, this is tough theology for some of you. Oh, I don't believe that. The Bible said it, listen, the Bible says it pleased the Father to crush the Son. Think about that one for a second. Did you hear what I said? It pleased the Father to crush the Son. And the Son didn't want to go through it. Go with me to Gethsemane. What does the word Gethsemane mean? It means olive press. It's the place where Jesus reached in his life where the very essence of himself was squeezed out like olive oil. And he said, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. How many times as a parent have you told your kids, I'm doing this, why? Because I love you. Okay? Give me your cell phone. Mom, I'm doing this because I love you. Give me your keys. Dad, I'm taking them because I love you. I remember one time many years ago when I lived in the parsonage, Joshua got off track and wandered into a path that he really didn't need to be in. He was in Murfreesboro. 21 kids wandering around Murfreesboro in the city that night and broke into the Jeff Cup Museum. 21. 21 kids were staying at the same house. I said, wait a minute. 3 o'clock. Telephone rings in the parsonage. Hello. Hey, Pastor, this is Bobby Beard. Bobby? You're the magistrate, okay? Bobby, who is it this time? You know what he said? Pastor Wallace, this time, it's your son. Josh? I said, he's spending the night with a friend. He said, wrong answer. He's spending the night with 20 other friends. Well, he just asked Joy and I said, okay, if I spend the night with Mike. And we said, is his parents going to be home? Is it okay with them? He said, yes. His parents weren't home. They were in Florida. And so Mike got 20 other kids. Were you there, Matt? Okay. Bless your heart. I was going to say, you and I need to talk after the service. So you know, I had 10 miles to ride from the parsonage to the magistrate's office in Murfreesboro, and I thought, what am I going to say to my kids? What am I going to say to my son? And he said, oh, by the way, we arrested him on, you know, underage drinking. Oh, really? I said, yeah. But he said, Pastor Wallace, let me tell you something. Do not be hard on this boy. I said, Bobby, what are you talking about? I said, my son is buying alcohol at this age. He has his license, but that's it. You know, he's not of age to be doing this. He said, but let me tell you what he did. You know how behind Chowan College in Murfreesboro, There's all these hills down there and the streams and stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's just a hilly property back there. And he said after they broke into the Jeffcoat Museum and we knew they were drinking and they got somebody to help them get the alcohol, he said, we shined the lights and we drove the cars all around behind that community and we got on the loudspeaker and we know you're down there. He said all 21 of them were down there and only one young man came out of the woods and it was your son. And he came to the top of the hill and we took him in and we've arrested him and we've managed to get the names of the other 20. So he said, be careful what you say to your son because he was the only one that told the truth. I mean, even though the truth will do something for you, it will set you free. And you know, sin has an effect that's just kind of like a snowball. If you make a mistake, it just gets worse. The day April 15th, which is also tax day, we were scheduled to be in Winton for his court date. And a man T-boned us in an intersection, tore our vehicle all to pieces, and Josh ended up in the emergency room. And I said, you see what happens when you do the wrong thing? Now we're supposed to be in the courthouse and we're in the emergency room. Let me call Winton and let them know you're not going to show up because here we are in the emergency room. You know, it's just a challenging thing when you wander off into another path. And it's a challenging thing that brings consequences. And I came home that morning at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, we get back to the parsonage. And I didn't say a word to him the whole way from Murfreesboro to Ahoskie. And I sat on the side of the bed with him in the parsonage over here, and I put my arm around Joshua, and I said, Josh, this is not the plan that I have for you. Now go to sleep, and we'll talk in the morning. And the next morning, I went into the room, and he was awakened, and I said, well, let me have your keys. And he said, I'm paying for this vehicle. I said, I understand that, but you live in my house, and you're not taking care of yourself. I'm taking care of you, and I'm your father. And I said, give me the keys. And so I took his keys away from him for 30 days. And during that 30 days, I saw attitude change. I saw another young man emerge that wanted to suddenly do things right. You see, sometimes broken legs will cause you to listen, hear me now, to the voice of your shepherd a little better. Broken legs may be a cell phone that you turn off. Broken legs may be a vehicle that you take the keys from. Broken legs may be you're not allowed to be with that person anymore. Broken legs can come in many forms, but they work. And the Bible says clearly here that the shepherd will do that. He will renew my strength and he will guide me along the right paths. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to what? To my voice. And I know them, and they know me. And what do? They follow me. My question for you today is, whose voice are you following? Are you following the voice of the Lord, your shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah? Or are you listening to the voices of the world in which you live? Sometimes I think that's why God allows us to experience, come on, our broken seasons, our seasons where he places us in a posture where we have to rely upon him, hoping that this trial or this hardship will teach us a deeper trust in his direction. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, your rod and your staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The King James rendered this verse like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a named valley here. The valley of what? The valley of the shadow of death. My mind takes me back to one of my 12 trips to Israel since 1994. I remember the bus driver pulling over that day to a very dangerous place. I mean, we sat there on the side of the hills of the Jericho Road outside of Jerusalem, And he said, I want you to look to your left, and if you look down, you'll see a deep gorge, you'll see a deep crevice, and it's going down on this side of the hill, and going down on this side of the hill, there's a gorge there. He says, this is a place we call the Valley of the Shadow of Death. In other words, it's so deep, the sun doesn't even shine down there. And he said, the shepherds will bring their sheep to this place, and they will graze, because just up the hillside as you look, there are green pastures. And so the shepherds will bring their sheep here, and when one of them wanders away, he has the crook in the staff, that crooked part of the staff, that he can take that crook and put it around the neck of the sheep and pull him back to safety. You know, people have preached all kinds of things about the rod. Well, the rod is the other end of the staff where he can raise it up and he can go 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not necessarily true. That might be what you've heard. But if you chase this down in the Hebrew, the word is your rod and your staff. The crooked part and the rod, it comforts me. What is a rod? The translation of the word rod is club. In other words, the shepherd didn't have a 38 attached to his side. He didn't have a Glock. But what he did have was a club. And sometimes he would take that club and he would have to club a wolf. Okay? So the rod is helpful. The staff is helpful. I'm holding one today that is meaningful to me. Probably one of the most meaningful gifts I've ever received in my life. It's in my office in the corner. It was given to me when Zachary Stoyer left us many years ago from a tragic accident, a death that took a young boy in middle school. I remember preaching the message from this pulpit where the entire place was packed and he did not survive. And the title of my message that day was The Gospel According to Zach. I visit that sometimes in my mind's eye. And I think of him. And when I see this, I say, Lord, thank you that you've called me to be a shepherd. Thank you that you've called me to be for my congregation a rod and a staff, to bring them comfort, to help them, to guide them, to lead them to green pastures, to tell them that you can live again. I know you miss Zach, but you can live again. And it's hard to live when you lose your loved ones. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, that's probably the darkest valley that family has ever walked through. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'm not going to cash out in fear because I'm afraid. Why? Because you are close beside me. Okay? And I thank you, Lord, for your rod and for your staff. Amen? Can I just tell you that he's the good shepherd of your life? He watches over you. He's your defender. He's also your protector. Thank you for the songs this morning. So adequate. So on task for the subject today. Psalm 34, verse 7, you know, we have a rod and a staff that is very different for us as new covenant believers. He says, angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. Did you know that constantly you have the angelic guarding you in all of your ways? You say, yeah, but my granddaughter, she got hurt, and my grandson didn't survive. And listen, angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. He's the shepherd. He has the final say. We don't have all the answers. Sometimes I just can't tell you why God does what he does. I'll never forget the book that I read from Billy Graham's organization, absolutely free, many years ago for those who supported his ministry. I received one. It was by Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband was killed by the very people he was called to minister to. Jim Elliot, a great missionary, who was ministering to these native people of the land who were cannibals, and they killed Jim Elliot. And Elizabeth wrote the book with her own hand, Trusting God in a Twisted World. And she devoted that book to the question, why? She never got an answer. You can get the book on Amazon, Trusting God in a Twisted World. It's about $9. I buy them and give them to people when I just don't know what to say. Devoted to the big question, why? Why the accident? Why the wreck? Why the death? Why the loss? Why the amputation? Why the divorce? I don't know why, but I do know God. And he will keep you through every situation. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Verse number 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. You may wonder why David uses this figure of speech. I've read this so many times in my life and thought, why did he say, right in the midst of all this, why did he say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies? Because if you read 2 Samuel chapter 17, the verses are 27 to 29. I didn't flash them up on the screen for you. But you can read the story. David is reflecting, and he's writing this psalm, Psalm 23. But David is reflecting on a time where he was fleeing for his life from Absalom. You remember the story. He's been out in the wilderness on the run for some time now, and three men who are not even Israelites bring him beds to sleep on, bring him basins to wash, bring him earthen vessels, bring him wheat, barley, meal, grain for all of the people to eat. They said the people are hungry and they're weary and they're thirsty in this wilderness, David, as you are constantly on the run. Somebody has come along and provided a tremendous meal, a time of respite, a time of rest for David. He sees this evidently as a picture of the Lord setting a table before him, even in the presence of his enemies. The Lord says, sit down, David. Let's have a steak. Let's have a meal. Let's have some juice. Let's relax. Let me light a candle. Enjoy yourself and stop running from your enemies for just a little while. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And even though you're running for your life, David, I want to remind you, your cup overflows with my blessings. Because why? Because I am your shepherd. Amen? That's the kind of shepherd he is. And you see, sheep were always helpless victims, and they had this fuzzy little nose. They're beautiful. I put on Facebook this week, anybody have a lamb? Because I fully intended this morning on preaching to you with a lamb in my arms the entire time, and I could not find one. I wanted one so bad, but I couldn't find one. Somebody said, use a goat. I said, it ain't the same. It ain't the same. I can get you a goat. I don't want a goat. I want a lamb. But I couldn't find one. Sheep were the victims of this sort of bot fly that would fly around buzzing in the air, and the flies would fly up the nostrils kind of like this, up the nostrils, and they would back themselves up in the nostrils of a sheep, and they would lay their eggs, and the eggs would hatch. And little, if you know anything about the stages of an insect, the eggs produce the larva, which is a worm. And all of a sudden, one day, the sheep's nostrils would be filled with worms. And he had no way to pick up a paw and swat it, you know, had no way to defend himself. So the only thing that the sheep would do was, because he was so miserable, he would take off running as hard as he could and dash himself into the rocks trying to kill the worms, only to fall to his own death. And so what would the shepherd do? You ever been camping? Hey, we're going on a trip. You ever been hunting, turkey hunting? You ever been out in the woods? You ever been playing golf and this place has yellow flies really bad? Have you ever been fishing up the Maharan River? You better get you some deep woods off and spray yourself and put DEET around you. You know why? Because what you're doing is you're anointing yourself. And the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. And it would serve as a deterrent to keep those flies away so that they would not back up into the nostrils of the sheep. You anoint my head with oil. And oil in the Bible is always a type of what? Holy Spirit. And so you give us the Holy Spirit as you lead us and guide us as a shepherd. You give us the Holy Spirit to help us so that on our life's journey, we won't dash ourselves into the rock and bring destruction to our own self. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Verse 6 reminds us that this is a tremendous act. I'm coming to a close now, and I only close one time. It's a tremendous act of God's mercy and God's grace. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will do what? Pursue me all the days of my life. And because you are my shepherd, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dwell in your presence, in your house, Lord, forever. David says that the shepherd will be the one who has led you. The shepherd will be the one that will continue to lead you all the days of your life. And your dwelling place will be with him. And not just here. Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has planned for his people. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Last week, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. John said in chapter 14, neither let it be afraid. Are you thankful today for the Lord who is your shepherd? Why don't you take a moment and stand with me and let's just give him praise today. Put your hands together and give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. I wonder as we stand here today, are there persons who would say to me this morning, Pastor, I want to say to you today that I need a fresh commitment to the Lord being the shepherd of my life. Maybe you find yourself, I gave you a slice out of my own life. Well, you're the pastor, man. I didn't know your family was so rebellious. No, my family are normal people. Okay. Josh and I talk about those times now. We talk about those rebellious moments. We talk about those moments when I showed up for him just to visit him one day. And he said from this pulpit, preaching in a series of mine one day, that when my dad dropped in off that airplane in the northwest part of the U.S., he was the last human being that I want to lay my eyes on. I did not want to see him. Because a vision of my dad, my eyesight falling on my dad, was a consistent knock on my heart. Joshua, I've called you into the ministry. And to be around me was a reality that he had to face the call of God. Can I just tell you as believers, you don't intend to do this, but you make some people miserable. You do. Just listen, hear me. You anoint my head with oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Can I just be honest with you? Just you walking into an atmosphere will bring a shift to a room because he's anointed you. You say, I wonder why they get nervous. I wonder why they act that way. Because you walked in. See? You walked in. I wonder why it's so hard sometime on my job. It seems like the staff, because you work with them. Okay? Because you're there. And he's anointed you. And you bring an uneasiness to an atmosphere. So hear me this morning, if you're here, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? Pastor, I need to make a fresh renewal of my faith to the shepherd of my soul. Can I see your hand? Come on, don't be embarrassed. Be confident today that you're in the right place at the right time. Thank you. Is there another hand? I need to make a fresh commitment to the shepherd today. Come on, you know the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. God bless you. God bless you. You know the Holy Spirit when he's knocking on you. Your heart is probably beating now a little abnormally, okay? And that's when the Holy Spirit is touching you and he wants to have a moment with you, okay? So those of you that raised your hands and any that didn't and you need to come, please come and step out of your seat and join me here in Green Pastures. Come on. Join me here in Still Waters. Come on, just step out of your seat. You raised your hand. Just come. It's just a step of faith. I promise you, there'll be a preacher. There'll be a minister that will come alongside you, and they're going to pray with you, and they're going to pray a prayer with you of commitment, fresh commitment to the things of God. Come on, just step out of your seat. I just want him to be my shepherd. I just want to make a fresh statement of faith, nothing to be embarrassed about. Hallelujah. Come on, would you just go ahead and sing that? Man, there's an anointing on that. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. I am alone. You feel that today in the atmosphere? Come on. Just lift your hands up and love on him. Come on, just love on him. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. Come on.
He's my comfort, always holds me close.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saying it for any other reason than it's in my heart, it's in my spirit today. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. You know, Reese, you're experiencing an anointing right now. God is putting oil on you. Mara, you're receiving anointing right now. An oil, a touch of the Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands right where you are and love on him. Just love on him. He anoints my head with oil. I want to invite you to come. Step out of your seat. I want you to come and just receive an anointing on your head. Just stand in his presence for a moment. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just soak it in today. Soak it in today. Soak it in today.
Hallelujah.
I am God.
head with oil. My cup overflows. Whoa.
So like there's some people here, you're like at the grocery store, you're seeing all the food, but you're not coming to eat. I mean, seriously, there's somebody out there, you're wanting this morning bad.
Just come. Come on, just take a step of faith and come. Good word, Matt. You're in the store surrounded by food, but you're just not eating, you're not partaking. Step out of your seat and come. I'm struggling, Pastor. Step out of your seat and come. It's hard, Pastor. Step out of your seat and come. Let him anoint you with oil. Let him anoint you with oil. Let him be your comfort. Let him be your guide. Hallelujah. Sing it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I am not alone. Yeah. The Lord say, I see the scars, I see the pains, I see the hurts, I see the tears. The Lord says, today I anoint you. Today I anoint your head with oil, says the Lord. Today I tell you, your cup overflows. Goodness and mercy. I hear the Lord say, goodness and mercy is following you. There's been times that you felt like, where are you, God? The Lord says, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And I never will. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The Lord needs you. He needs your voice. He needs your labors. He needs your faithfulness. That's all he wants. But you say, but Pastor, I've been hurt. God says, I see that. I see that. And it's hard for me to trust. You just got to trust. Mary, would you come and lay your hands on this lady right here? God wants to just bless you for a moment. I'm going to let you feel the love of the Father, okay? The love of the Father. Come on, feel it. Feel it right there. The love of the Father. Feel that? You feel that? There's a difference. That's the love of the Father. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Shipalaburama. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Shipalaburama. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Susan Williams. Worship Him.
listen, we get stuck, you know. You think about he anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. We have a tendency just to get locked into the idea that that's just to protect me. But if you study this passage, if you study this word, and for new covenant believers, that's what you are. Oil is always a type of the Holy Spirit. So he anoints you. Yes, he's your shepherd for protection. But he also places something on your life that can shift and change an atmosphere just because you walked in. Yeah, I was analyzing a scenario this week for me. And I was just asking myself the question, why does he always act that way? Why does he act that way? And my wife said, honey, it's the anointing on your life, okay? He's miserable, okay? I said, he's always manifesting something. It don't happen until you show up. He's miserable. And he's miserable because he doesn't have the same shepherd you do. Okay? Come on. Listen, it's not in an ugly way. Just that's what you need to understand, Lewis. When you walk into that workplace, you deal with those demons. You know, it's because of your presence, the presence of God on your life causes people to get miserable, say ugly things, act a certain way. And then they look at you and you smile. Hey, how you doing? That drives them crazy. And so just listen, let the Holy Spirit rest upon you. Because the shepherd has anointed you, okay? The shepherd has placed an anointing on you. And if you notice what follows is goodness and mercy, overflowing cup, okay? Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life, that's why your cup is full, okay? That's why your cup is running over. Because God's anointing is on your life. Don't ever forget, Jehovah Raha, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha. Okay? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? Let me share a little testimony and we're going to get out of here. This week, I positioned myself in a place of learning. Besides giving out, I'm always taking in, okay? I'm asking people to teach me, guide me. I have mentors in my life that sow into my life. And I was sitting and I was listening to a teacher. And he was talking about this wave of young people in the earth today, okay? Wave of young people. I'm 62, man. I'm not going to draw my Social Security. I'm going to let it sit right there and just keep making more money, okay? I'm not going to draw it. I don't need it, okay? So I'm going to wait until at least 65, maybe. Just let it keep on, because I'd take a big cut if I was to take it right now. So I'm not going to do that. And I was listening to this person. They said, young people in the earth today being released. And this is what I did. This is my prayer. Krista, I said, Lord, would you manifest the release of young people, Carpenter Shop International Church? And God is my witness, Doug. In about 60 seconds, I can show you the text. A text came from Reese. I looked at that text and I said, yes, Lord. I said, God, you fast. And a text came from Reese. Reese, do you mind if I read this to the people? I want you to hear what she said to the pastor. Her mom and dad probably don't even know this. Reese White. She said, hello. Is this Pastor Wallace? Yeah. If it is, I have a question if it's okay. She said, I heard you mention Sunday, a class that you teach. And I was wondering if it has an age requirement. A can't even see the words here. I know I'm young, but it's been really hard at school in my college classes. My professors try to disprove the Bible. And she said, and they try to disprove faith. And I'm trying really hard to commit to study the Bible. I read plans on the Bible app, but they're just so easy to forget or ignore. And I was wondering if you could help me find something that could cause me to really study. I don't think I can do it by myself. Maybe you could help. I just need something. Check this out. I just need something more than a little devotion. She said, I heard you had a class for people who were studying in the ministry. She said, am I too young? Okay. I said, wait a minute. This is a young girl wants to get in your class, man. How old are you, Reese? 15. When I was 15, man, I didn't have the Word of God on my mind, okay? And I said, man, this is crazy. You fill out an application for ministerial credentials, you have to be 18. But I said, Lord, we're going to break history here. I'm going to receive my first Bible college student at age 15. And you know what? I'm just going to say this because it just needs to be true. It's not a boast or a brag, but I would love to sow the seed of paying for your classes. I'd like to pay for that. Amen? So that it wouldn't cost you a dime, all right? Would you give me that honor of just Pastor Joy and I paying for your classes? It won't cost you anything. I'll register you under your name, and you'll get the email, and the classes will come. And I got a little bit of sense. I told Pastor Joy, I said, she doesn't need to sign up for, I don't think she can handle what you guys are doing. Like, he can tell you, man, it's rigid, okay? It's rigid. Brian, it takes work, don't it? It takes work. So you're a student already in school. So I think to give you a class a month would be dangerous, okay? So we can sign you up for the May class, okay? I just need your email address. And you can sign up for the classes and get started on May. That way you got all of April and at least half of May. And these guys can tell you, I'm easy to work with, aren't I, Brian? I'm easy, right, man? I'm telling you, I'll make it easy for you. I won't make it hard for you because I want you to win, okay? Man, you blessed me so much. I said, Lord, I was sitting there listening to these guys, and I said, God, please raise up young people. Please give me those young people that are hungry for God to do something. And God is my witness. 60 seconds went by. Ding! I said, who's trying to text me now? And I started reading this, and in my chair in the middle of that class, I broke down and started crying. I said, God, thank you. Reese, God's hand is on your life. The word for you today is Jeremiah 1:4-5. I know you're a dancer, okay? But here's what the Lord says to you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I set you apart and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay? So whether it's through worship dance or teaching or preaching or whatever, God has his sovereign hand on your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all wrecking me, man. Y'all wrecking me. Y'all wrecking me today. I ain't even thinking about chicken. Come on, somebody. Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you for this series, Who's Your Daddy? Thank you that you're El Shaddai. Thank you that you're Jireh. Thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom. Thank you that you are Jehovah Ra. Lord, we just bless you today. And
thank you for your people. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for the nations. Thank you for the team that's on the ground right now, building a facility, building another one, holding services, preaching the gospel, praying for the sick. Lord, bring them back safely to us. And let us, please, Lord, please let us do it again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Man, you got to sing that thing one more time, please. Just one more time. You're dismissed. Feel free to go. God bless you.